This is Steve Sherlock with another in a series of podcasts for Franklin Matters. This is number 39-8, the dash 8 referring to part 8 of the series from the Town Hall Forum conducted by Governor Davila Patrick at the Franklin Senior Center on Sunday, May 17th. This particular segment continues the Q&A section with comments from Michael Walker Jones on pension reform, specifically the outliers do not represent the whole. Governor Patrick responds, and some of his comments in the video summary published by his office come from this particular section of the discussion. Representative Valley also chimes in, not in an attempt to mediate between two of his friends. He thinks both are right, but pension reform abuses do need to be stopped. So let's listen to this, and here we go.
Now, would you another round of questions and comments, but let me ask one question first. How many, or maybe a couple of questions that relate, how many people think pension reform is important? How many of you think that we are on the right course by trying to get pension reform done in a meaningful way before we get to the tax question? How many think that's the wrong course? Why? Yeah. We don't have to limit this to pension reform. The other two are ethics and transportation. So
first off, with regard to pension reform, you're going after the entire system. I understand that. But the abuses are coming from a small segment. And what's happening is that everyone in the entire system is being held hostage because of the abuse of the few. And I think what you're doing is you're putting too much emphasis on the pension reform being some kind of panacea, as if it's going to cure all. Michael Walker Jones. I'm a Franklin resident. I'm also the chairperson of the Franklin Democratic Town Committee. I'm on the state committee, and I'm an MTA employee. Full disclosure. I want to get into the second round. It's about another question, because I'm also co-chair of the Franklin 4th of July Coalition. And I've got a question that I need to ask you later. First off, let me say that it's important for us to recognize that the state employees, teachers, the support personnel, and municipal employees are not the abusers of this system. I think there are a number of high-profile instances that can and should and have been dealt with. There are some that just got away with murder. All right? I won't mention any Senate president's name, but I think you're well-informed and well-intended to try to deal with those. So my point is that, again, don't hold all the rest of what we need in terms of reform or improvements in terms of revenue stream hostage because of what is perceived to be, again, a need with regard to pension reform. One other last point, too, and I can only speak to this for the MTRB, that's the Mass Teachers Retirement Board. Teachers are paying a significant portion currently into that retirement system, to the detriment, as a matter of fact, because to their detriment in some cases, because with regard to Social Security, there's an offset. They don't get Social Security. They put all of their money into this particular pension. There is no COLA or cost of living adjustment that's associated with it. So once they retire, that's it. It's basically locked in, and there's no other guarantee that that's ever going to go up. So again, if you're going to look at pension reform, it's not just about making the efforts to look at the control of the system, but you also, I think, as you're well aware, need to take a look at how are some of these pension plans working and are they working for the benefit of those state and municipal employees who literally sacrifice in terms of their incomes during the life of their career, for the most part, okay, in order to get, I think, at least an adequate pension on the other end. So that's my...
Now, those are great. So give me a chance to make a point I feel strongly about. I'm going to push back respectfully. Okay, I want to agree, first of all, that the abuses that are in the news all the time do not reflect the fact that most people, the vast majority of people who work in state government, are playing by good rules, putting in their service, being paid quite a modest pension, in fact, when they retire. I think the average is something like maybe $40,000, or maybe $35,000. That's not it. But you know and I know that those outliers discredit the whole system. And if we don't fix those outliers, then there's a larger question out there, and it's already happening in the private sector, and it will come into the public sector if we don't deal with it. That is whether we should move from a defined benefit system to a defined contribution system. I think the defined benefit system is right.
Yes.
I think it's right. I think it's part of the deal we make, that we make with public employees who work frequently for less than public sector compensation. But we better have some energy, in my view, about fixing those outliers, because it discredits the great majority. Let me make my other point. This is my pushback. I don't want anybody to have the impression that if we fix the pension system, the savings will close this funding gap we're talking about. That is not true. And if we fix the ethics and lobbying rules, it doesn't have anything to do with money. It's not going to close this gap. By the way, if we do transportation reform, and I think there's a right way and a wrong way to do it, even the savings we're talking about there, our proposal was about $40 million a year in savings, it's not enough to pay all of our transportation needs. But I will say this. At a time when people don't have much money, they ought to have, and they deserve to have, confidence in the integrity of state government. They ought to have that. And we, I think, are in a very difficult place making the case to the public for that additional revenue if we haven't shown that we care about the integrity of state government. And so, to that point, those of you who believe that we ought to have new revenue, and there was a lot of applause over here, looking at my buddies over here, I would ask you, due respect to your point about hostage taking. But, you know, guess what? There's a lot of quid pro quo that goes on up on Beacon Hill. This is a leverage point, and I need to use it. What I would say is, if you care about those programs and that revenue, then bring your advocacy not just for the programs and the revenue, bring your advocacy for the reforms, too. You've got a voice. Your people are interested in what you have to say. And the House and the Senate, you saw on those charts, the House and the Senate have moved on every single one of those reforms. They're in conference. The question is, are we going to get something out that's real? I think we will. But you're going to have to speak up.
Thanks. You're both my friends, so I'm not going to mediate this. I think you're both right. I think we're going to have the reforms, and I think we're going to have some revenue. We have to have revenue, as you saw here. If we eliminated government, we still couldn't afford it. There's no way around it, and it's just, I think there's consensus amongst the legislature and the governor that we want to do it in the least impactful way possible, if possible, and in a very measured way. And this very, if you read the papers, there's a tremendous amount of disagreement between the governor and the legislature. But in reality, there's not as much disagreement as you really would think. I'm here to support the governor. I'm your legislator in this community, and I support the governor in his reforms. And I think that the governor is right about pension reform. It is symbolic. And you're right, Michael. It is symbolic. There are some abuses, and they're wrong, and they have to stop. And I think pension reform should apply to me and should apply to the current state employees, the current reforms that the governor's proposed. And I know there's been some disagreement with other people in the legislature on that issue, but in order for us to have the credibility that the governor's talking about, to come out to you and ask you for more money, I think we need to institute those reforms. And I think we're going to get, I think the two of you will be right. I know we need the reforms, and I know we need the revenue, and I think we're going to do it. I really do. I appreciate the governor. He's out front on some issues, and that's why I'm here to support him. Thank you.
This podcast has been a public service provided to my fellow citizens of Franklin, Mass. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The musical intro and closing is from the PodSafe Music Network, featuring John Schmidt, powerful, exhilarating piano music. I hope you enjoy.